But tonight I want to preach to you guys just something that has been just like jacking me up. Like jacking me up, man. Like this message, this is not just like a cute little sermon. Like this is something that literally like the Lord has been dealing with me on constantly throughout the day. And so I want to preach to you guys a message called Nothing. Somebody say nothing.
Nothing.
Come on, somebody say nothing.
Nothing.
How many guys one day you say, at the end of your life, right, when everything is said and done, you've got married, you've got your job, you've had your kids, you've got your degrees, you become that doctor or that lawyer or that neurodiagnologist, technician, whatever you want to be, right, that physical trainer, man, that athlete, that basketball star, that football star. At the end of your life, you say, man, I want it all to amount to nothing. Nobody, right? Come on, nobody in here? Says, man, I want all my achievements to mean nothing. Nobody? Come on, nobody?
Nobody.
Come on, all my accomplishments of my dreams, right? The way that God used me, man, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, right? To watching your friends get saved because you're preaching the gospel, because we're called to preach the gospel, right? Come on, every A that I've made in school, the dream college that I've been dreaming about since I was 15, I finally got into. Come on, every degree I've achieved, every possession I've owned. Come on, that million-dollar mansion that one day that you're going to own
and
invite me over to, right? Come on, when you're that famous football player or that basketball player. Come on, you're going to remember your youth pastor. And how you didn't tithe in youth, so you just, no, I'm kidding. Come on. Come on, that Tesla that you're driving in 20 years. Or better yet, how about that Ford Bronco, baby? Y'all don't even know about that. Woo, son. Jesus, I receive. Come on, at the end of your life, you say, man, I want all of it to mean nothing. Is that one day, I want to be an absolute nobody. Right? No, like, listen, no one in here wants to be a nobody, right? Like, no one in here wants to be the guy that history forgets about. You know, they say that the one thing that your generation is after, that Gen Z is after, is that you desire to be influencers. And because you become addicted to this thing called social media and you see it all the time. And so, man, you want to be an influencer is that you want to post the right picture to get the right likes. Yo, how bad does it hurt when you post that picture on Instagram and it only gets like 2 likes? Come on, you know you get salty.
I don't care.
So I don't care. Listen, I'll lie to you. I care. I remember one time I posted a picture of my kids that only got like 20 likes. I was like, what is wrong with the world? My kids are cuter than 20 likes. Forget you, Instagram.
Deserve more.
Right? Is that, man, no one in here says, I want my life to be worthless and have no purpose. I just want to die a nobody. Is that I want to end up with nothing, end up with no one. And end up a nobody. Right? No one says that. But here's the thing. Did you know tonight that that's possible? Come on, did you know tonight that it's possible for you to accomplish all your dreams in the eyes of God, your life to mean absolutely nothing? Did you know it's possible for you to heal the sick and for you to raise the dead? But in the eyes of God, your life means nothing. Did you know, man, that you could spend your whole life giving to the needy and giving to the homeless and giving to the poor? Man, you could sacrifice day in and day out and day in and day out. Man, you could give away half your paycheck every single time. And in the eyes of God, for your life to mean nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a really scary thought to me. That's a really scary thought. See, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians how Paul says, and this is not going to be on the screen, but Paul says that one day that all of us are going to stand before God. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And that when you stand before God, that God, like an investigator, he's going to span out your life. He's going to span out every moment, every work, every word that you've said, everything that you've watched, everything that you've listened to, and everything that you've done, and even the motives and the reasons for why you did them. And the Bible talks about how that judgment seat is going to be like a fire. And if our works are like wood, hay, and stubble, that they're going to burn up before the Lord. Like, come on. Can you imagine standing before God and watching the last 80 years of all your hard work, all your education be burnt up? Yo, that's wild. That's crazy. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to have a life that means nothing in the eyes of God. See, if you have your Bible tonight, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. This is what it says. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Can we just stop right there on that verse? A way of life that is best of all. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secrets, plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. Somebody say nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You want to know what the word nothing here means? It literally means nothing. And do you know what the word nothing means? It means to have no value. It means to have no value. See, how many of you guys ever grew up playing Monopoly before? Right? Monopoly before, right? And like, how many of you guys ever, like, whenever you were a kid, like, you kind of walked around, like, with, like, Monopoly money, like you had something, you know what I mean? Like, yo, I got those pink dollar bills, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Whoa. You know? So, like, Or like maybe, like, have you seen like that, like the fake money before? You know? And like, come on, like, it looks, yo, like, doesn't this look legit? Like, this is pretty convincing. Right? Come on, like, you got the fake money, you know, like, and you're rolling around with the fake money in like your pockets or whatever, you know, like, you're just thinking that you're something. But here's the thing about fake money, guys, is that, man, it can look real. It can look real, but it has no value. See, is that, like, I can show up to McDonald's down the street, right? And I can be like, yo, I'm about to go in on this dollar menu. You know, it is not about to survive what I'm about to do to it. And I can slap this wad of cash down on the counter, right? And what are they going to do? They're going to laugh at my face. Why? Because it's fake money, which means it has no value. It's fake money with no value. See, and here's the thing, though. See, but what if I showed up with this $100 bill? Jeez, bring $100 bills to McDonald's, my man. Is if I show up with this $100 bill and I lay it down on the counter, I can get whatever I want. All right? That's going to amount to $100. See, listen. Hold on. Bring it here. What is the difference between this and this? One has, okay, yeah, one has, there's a, no, but what makes this $100 bill have value and these not have value? Because the government. Right? Listen, there's a few different things, but come on, how many of you guys have ever seen in the movie, right? Or maybe you've been to like a gas station and like they're all sketched out by you because you look like you're 12 and you're handing them like, you know, that 50 and they're all like, let me, you know, look at this money and make sure it's under the light. See, when you put the money underneath the light, there's this thing called a security strip. This thing called a security strip. See, and the light reveals that this is a real dollar bill. See, it reveals that this was made in the right place to give it actual value. Wow. It was made in the right place to give it actual value. And no, by the way, I'm not going to give you my $100 bill.
Come on. This is money.
Going back in my wallet. See, but here's the thing, though, is that the point is this, is that because this money is missing the security strip, it doesn't have any value. Can I let you know that this money is like our lives without love? This money is like our lives without love. I mean, it doesn't matter what I do or what I get or what I have. Guess what? If it doesn't have love on it or in it, then in the eyes of God, it is as useless as this fake money. It's as useless as useless. What is that? As useless. Right? Take it out. Like Paul says, man, that we can speak with the languages of heaven and all the languages of earth. He says, listen, man, like you can speak in tongues, you can give a word in tongues, and you can prophesy, you can know Russian, you can know, I was gonna say American, wow, English, Spanish, wow, I know, wow, right? It doesn't matter like what language you know, but guess what? If you don't have love, then do you know what your life is like? It's like a banging cymbal. Come on, like seriously, the thing about this is, can you imagine every single time you talk, this is all God hears? Come on, whenever you're talking to your mom at home and you're disrespecting her. All your mom did was ask you to clean up your room and come on, your teacher at school asked you to turn in an assignment and I hope I'm not breaking the cymbal. I have no clue how to hit it. But seriously, like, wouldn't it be annoying if over and over again, wouldn't that be annoying? Listen, I'm not saying that God is annoyed with you, but this is what I'm saying, is that I don't want to be, like, I don't want, when God hears me, I don't want God to hear that. Why? Because my life doesn't have love. My life doesn't have love. You know, listen, Paul even says, is that you could have the gift of prophecy and you can know all of God's secrets. Like, y'all, like, catch this. Paul says you can know all of God's secrets. Like, you can know how God fashioned the world. You can know how God laid the foundations of the earth. Man, you can know and understand every scientific mystery that there is. Man, you can understand the human body like no one else in the world and be the greatest doctor or whatever. But Paul's like, listen, you can know all of God's secrets. But if you don't have love, your life is nothing in the eyes of God. It's nothing but fake money. Man, he even says, like, you could do the craziest miracles. Is that you could heal the sick. Man, you could raise the dead. Man, you could preach and get thousands of people saved, millions of people saved. But if you don't have love, You know, my heart breaks, man, for all these evangelists that I hear about who go and literally, like, they have ministries where millions of people are getting saved. Man, then I hear about how they treat their wives and their kids, and it's trash. And in the eyes of God, I'm like, man, I'm scared for you when you stand before him in eternity. I mean, I'm scared for myself. Right? Guys, Paul even says here in this verse, I mean, that you could give your body to be burned. It's, man, it's that you could be so radical for Jesus, man, that maybe you're like in a country where they're killing Christians and you could be like, yo, I'll die for the sake of the gospel. Man, but if I don't love, I could get to heaven and God's like, why'd you do that? That was dumb. Why? Because it's nothing but fake money. It has no value. It has no worth. Why, is anybody hearing me tonight? See, in the eyes of God, in everything I do, in everything I say, it's all meaningless and worth nothing if I don't have love. You know, and this is, guys, if I can be honest with you, this is where this message is really jacking me up, you know, because my mom came to town, right, like 3 weeks ago. And like, I don't know how it is, you guys live with your parents, so I guess I can't say that. Someone's like, Right, listen, and like, usually it's like good for like the first couple days, you know, but then there's like a moment of friction. You know, like for all my older people in here who maybe go and see family, like it's all cool for the first like three, then on the fourth day, right, something happens, somebody says something, you know what I mean, or whatever, and it's like, oh my God, we need an invocation now, okay? It's truth, y'all. And so my mom was there, right, and like everything was going well this time, you know, everything was going smooth and peachy, and then like she drops like this one-liner on me, and I was like, Like, yo, for real, mom? And I just remember, like, my heart got really twisted. And, like, I just really began to almost hold on to unforgiveness towards her for the comment that she made. And it was this moment where, like, I started being really short with her. I started being rude with her. I started being just, in my own heart, not loving towards her at all. Like, I was barely even willing to engage in a conversation anymore after that comment because I was like, you crossed them. Like, man, you crossed the line, you know? And then all of a sudden, the Lord began to drop this next set of verses in my heart. And first, I'm skipping a ton of notes, guys. I'm just talking tonight. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4. He began to drop in my heart. I mean, love is large and incredibly patient, Josh. God, I don't want to be incredibly patient. She shouldn't have crossed the line. Come on, love is gentle and consistently kind to all. But God, you don't know what she said. God, you don't know what she did. That was so rude. And I just kept hearing these verses over and over and over again. And love is patient. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is kind. Man, and it's just, and if I can be honest with you guys, I've like, for whatever reason, I've always had a really hard time being nice to my mom. Like, I'm cool with my dad, but for some reason, with my mom, I don't know what it is. Like seriously, I don't know what it's been or whatever, but I seriously remember being in high school, and I would just be like a freaking, I shouldn't say that over the mic, I'm sorry. I would just be like a butt to my mom, okay? And I remember just knowing how displeased the Lord was with my attitude towards my parents. And I would just be in my bedroom, and I'd just be like, God, like, I want to treat my mom right. Like, God, I want to treat my mom well. Come on, does anybody else have any troubles maybe treating their parents the way you should? Oh, y'all are liars. You better see that hand up. And listen, I've seen y'all talk to your moms, okay, or your parents. And I just remember being in high school, just being so frustrated and so annoyed and being like, God, I want to get this thing right. Like, God, like, I don't want my life to mean nothing, but there was just, like, something that was in the way of it. And the guy says, listen, like, I went through counseling. I went through Elijah House. Like, I went through all this other stuff. And if I can be honest with you guys, it was, like, no change. Like, no change. I mean, until, like, 2 weeks ago. And I got frustrated with my mom. And all of a sudden, I began to hear, Josh. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is kind. And now instead of getting mad, I begin to say, man, I don't want my life to mean nothing. Is that I don't want my life to mean nothing in the eyes of God. And so instead of darting and going to the bedroom where I could avoid my mom, I should have been, hey, mom, how was your day today? That was a good day. Right? Love is patient and love is kind. And do you know what I love about what Paul is writing here? Love it is that he says in these verses, in verses 1-8, he says that we're called to specifically to love others. And who are others? Like, who is the others he's talking about? Listen, that's not the people that's not the people who are easy to love. I mean, it's them too. Listen, Paul's like, listen, you're called to love people who are not easy to love. Come on, you're called to love that parent who, if we can be honest tonight, frustrates you to no end. You're called to love that parent, man, who's been a really bad role model as a parent. Come on, you're called to love that person who talks bad about you. Come on, you're called to love that person, man, who all they can do is find something negative to point out about you. Paul's like, listen, that's who you're called to love. That's your call. In fact, listen, okay, forget Paul. Let's look at Jesus, okay? Check out what Matthew 5, verse 43-48 says. He says, your ancestors have also taught you, love your neighbors and hate the ones who hate you. Like, isn't that how we live? Right? Yo, someone trashes me, I'm gonna trash you. Right? Like, listen, someone cuts me, I cut you. Right? That parent does something towards me, well, guess what? I don't even know what you said, bro, to be honest with you. I was going to respond to it, but I don't know what you said. Anyways, however, I say to you, love your enemy. Bless the one who curses you. Do something wonderful for the one who hates you. Come on, when's the last time you've done something wonderful for someone who hates you? For someone who goes out of your life to make it miserable, when's the last time that you've went out of your way to make their life wonderful? And respond to the very ones who persecute you by praying for them. For that will reveal your identity as children of your heavenly Father. Isn't that so cool? That Jesus says, listen, the thing that's going to reveal your identity as someone who belongs to me is not how you pray. It's not how much you read your Bible. I mean, it's not if you heal the sick and if you raise the dead. But it's by the way that you love. And it's in who you love. Check out what Jesus says next. He says, he is kind to all by bringing the sunrise to warm and rainfall to refresh whether a person does what is good or evil. What reward do you deserve if you only love the lovable? Don't even the tax collectors do that? How are you any different from others if you limit your kindness to only your friends? Don't even the ungodly do that? Since you are children of your perfect Father in heaven, become perfect like him. What makes God so perfect? It's because he can love those who don't give a flip about him. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. So what does this love look like? Now what's amazing, whenever they were writing and translating the Bible, is that this is a well-known fact, that the translators, whenever they were trying to translate the way that Jesus loved, is that they literally had to come up with a brand new word that didn't exist yet. Because the way Jesus loved was so foreign and was so different than anything that had ever been seen before on the earth that they said, man, like, we got to create a new word. Isn't that amazing? So check out what this says again in verse 4. So what does it look like to love? Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Hey, Kins, you can come and play the keys. Love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflates its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated. Can I read that again? Love is not easily irritated. Love is not easily irritated. Or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. Come on, so what does love look like? Love is patient. Another word for patient is long suffering. Are you willing to suffer long for someone else's good? Even someone who's gone out of their way to hurt you. Love is gentle. Love is consistently kind to all. It refuses to get jealous over someone else's success. Love is not about lifting myself up to bring others down, or tearing others down where I feel like I'm at. Love doesn't seek to be recognized and doesn't demand its own way. Love doesn't make people feel like mistakes for their mistakes. Love is not disrespectful. It's not easily irritated. It doesn't have an explode button. It doesn't get offended quickly. I love this. It celebrates honesty. I love this. And it doesn't keep score of other people's mess ups. You know, I remember one time me and my wife, we were having a discussion. Passionate fellowship. I said something along the lines like, babe, like you always do, yada, yada, yada. I remember what it was. Get him. And I remember my wife, she looks at me and she goes, why are you keeping score? Tonight, are you keeping score of how many times that person has hurt you? How many times they've wounded you? Come on, how many times they've said negative things over you? Come on, how many times they've cut you? Are you keeping score tonight? Because if you are, then you're not in love and your life is in danger of being nothing in the eyes of God. Come on, love, it finds no delight and what God considers wrong and evil. And man, if that is not a relevant word for this generation, right? Who is shouting, man, that love is what you feel and love wins, and you know, it's whatever, like homosexuality, transgenderism, whatever, it's not a big deal. In the eyes of God, it is a big deal. In the eyes of God, it's not love. It's perversion. It's a twisting of the real thing. See, love is a safe place. Tonight, would you consider yourself a safe place? Would you consider yourself a safe place? This may be over like 90% of the heads in the room, but I think as we're saying, this past week I had a really awesome chance to meet a guy named Billy Humphreys. And we were just asking him parenting questions because he just seemed like such a really good dad. And if I have a passion in life for one thing, it's been I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband and I want to be a good dad. And I remember he was telling us a story about how, you know, he always thought that he was this amazing, incredible dad, was always there for his kids or whatever. And then he was having a conversation with his 20-year-old son. And his 20-year-old son said, "Dad, I just now realize that you're a safe place." I know it's going to go over like 90% of the heads in the room, but for the older crowd in the room tonight, like, I don't want to be a safe place. I don't want my kids to realize I'm a safe place when they're grown up. I want to be a safe place now. Love never stops believing the best in and for others, and it never stops loving. Come on, so if everyone in the room can stand up for me tonight. Come on, with every eye closed and every head bowed. Come on, I want to do a love test tonight. Come on, Holy Spirit, we don't want our lives to be nothing in your eyes, God. We want to be imitators of our Heavenly Father, you. So, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would reveal to us tonight where we're falling short in our love for you and for others. Come on, this is what I call the love test with every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and I just want you to ponder in your heart where you're at with these things. Come on, how patient are you with your brothers and sisters? How patient are you tonight with your parents? How patient are you tonight with the person who frustrates you? Come on, how gentle are you with your parents? They ask you to do something that you don't want to do. Come on, how gentle are you with your teachers? Come on, are the words that are coming out of your mouth, are they considered rough or gentle? Come on, would you consider yourself to be someone who is consistently kind? Consistently kind. Come on, no matter who it is, good day, bad day. Come on, are you someone who gets irritated easily? Do you have that explode button? Come on, where someone says the wrong thing at the wrong time or brings up the wrong subject, right? Man, or maybe it's really easy for you to get in the feels. Come on, and you just go off on people if they say the wrong thing to you. Come on, when someone rubs you the wrong way, do you go out of your way to hurt them back? Come on, are you someone who is looking to make the people who hurt you, are you looking to make their lives wonderful, not painful? So tonight, if you're like me in the room, and you say, man, my love has fallen short so many times, but I want to be someone whose life is worth something in the eyes of my Heavenly Father. and I want to love others well. I want my life to carry eternal weight and eternal value. If that's you tonight, I just want you to raise your hands on the count of three, and I just want to pray over you. One, two, three. Is there anybody in the room tonight? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Come on, Jesus, you see our hands that are in the air tonight. God, we say that we want to be people who love well. God, we don't want our eyes to be nothing, and we don't want our lives to be nothing, God. God, in your eyes, Jesus, have no value because we don't know how to love. God, we don't want our lives to be fake money tonight. God, maybe look the part, but man, in our hearts, Jesus, we don't know how to love, God. God, teach us how to love, God. God, teach us how to love the way that you love, Jesus. God, teach us how to be patient, God. Teach us how to be kind, Jesus. God, teach us how not to be easily irritated. God, teach us how to be consistently kind to all, God. Love tonight. God, teach us to love our enemies even though it's hard. Man, I feel like I pray for this all the time, but I'm going to go for it again tonight. If you're in the room tonight and you have unforgiveness towards somebody, if you're in the room tonight and you have unforgiveness towards somebody, listen, man, I don't care. I feel in my heart, man, even if you prayed over this like 100 times, but you still feel like there's something in your heart, man, that you still need breakthrough in the area of unforgiveness in your heart. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hands, and I would love to pray for you. One, two, three. Is there anybody in the room tonight? Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Come on, I just want you to say tonight, say Jesus, everyone, just say Jesus, right now, I choose to forgive and let go of. I want you to name that person. I want you to name that person. I want you to say, God, I put vengeance in your hand. I choose to walk in love and to bless the one that hurt me. In Jesus' name. Last thing. If you're in the room tonight and you do not know Jesus, Jesus is not the Lord of your life. You don't even know what it means to be in relationship with God. But tonight, I want to give you a chance to come into relationship with the living God. See, the Bible says that Jesus died for you because he loves you and because he wants to be in relationship with you. Listen, this thing that we're doing tonight, it's not about rules. It's not about regulations. It's not about religion. It's about you actually knowing the living God. The Bible says that God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to die for you. I mean, that whoever believes in him will not inherit, or will not, be eternally separated from God, but will inherit everlasting life. Tonight, you can inherit everlasting life if you choose to repent of your sins, and if you choose to give your heart to Jesus, and you choose to believe in him. So tonight, man, I just want to make that offer before we leave. If there's anybody in the room tonight that does not know Jesus, but tonight you want to know Jesus, tonight you want to come into relationship with him by repenting of your sins and by giving your life to Jesus by believing in him and accepting what he did for you on the cross to cleanse and to wipe away all your sins, which is the thing that's separating you from him. Come on, I'm going to pray for you tonight. Count of three, I want you to raise your hands. One, two, three. Am I talking to anybody in the room tonight? Anybody in the room tonight? Awesome. Now, Jesus, tonight we love you. We bless you, Father. We thank you for everything that you did tonight, everything that you said to us tonight. I thank you, Jesus, that you're better than what we think you are. I thank you that you're just exploding our minds and our hearts in fascination of you. With you, Jesus. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen, amen.